Welcome to God and Country Radio, a weekend program that discusses current social, political, economic, and prophetic events in the light of biblical theology. I'm your host, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Central New Jersey. This week's program is part two, critiquing a Christian nationalism conference I attended in Texas. The conference was entitled The Right Response, Blueprints for Christendom 2.0, Seven Doctrines for Ruling the World. And last week I discussed this whole concept of Christian nationalism, how it's a biblical concept, even though there may be a few bad actors in the movement. Christian nationalism is nothing new. It was the doctrine of the early church, Christianizing the Roman Empire. It was the doctrine of the Reformation, and it's a doctrine of the New Testament, that nations and kings need to be under the authority of Jesus Christ. Political leaders do not have a carte blanche ticket from God to rule any way they please. They must submit to the law of nature, nature's God, and that's the message the church needs to communicate to the state. Now, of course, the political, the academic, the media leaders in our country have so departed from Christian truth in favor of paganism that they're shocked that anyone would teach that the state is to be one nation under God. But Psalm 33:12 blesses the nation whose God is the Lord, and Revelation 1:5, Jesus Christ is the ruler of the kings of the earth. So that was the Christian nationalism aspect of this Right Response Conference. And you can check out that program at my YouTube channel, God and Country Biblical Exposition. Program number 296, Is Christian Nationalism the Right Response? Now this week, I'd like to discuss the post-millennial eschatology at the conference. While Christian nationalism is a solid biblical doctrine, most evangelical Christians would raise their eyebrows at the mention of post-millennial eschatology. So for new Christians and for those outside the church, eschatology is the doctrine of end-time events. Eschatos in the Greek is the word for the end. Ology is the study of. Eschatology is the study of biblical prophecy, what the future will hold, how this world will end. Postmillennialism is the teaching that by the power of the Holy Spirit and by the truth of the gospel, the nations of the world will be brought under the dominion of Christ. Not that every person on earth will have personal saving faith, but this age will end with mankind generally acknowledging the truth of Christ and submitting to God's law. The point is that truth will win, and soon all evils in this world will be brought into submission under God. As in Jesus' parable of the mustard seed, the kingdom of God grows and dominates, Matthew chapter 13, verse 31. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. And this is smaller than all other seeds, but when it is full grown, it is larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. So hence, an interpretation is that God's kingdom will dominate the world. Now, the millennium refers to a time mentioned in biblical prophecy where there'll be an age of righteousness and peace on earth. Like the sculpture and the plaque at the United Nations building in New York, which quotes a portion from Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4. And they will hammer their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, and never again will they learn war. The UN plaque leaves off the first part of Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4, that it is God who will judge between the nations, and he will render decisions for many people. The UN implies and believes that they will accomplish this goal. when in fact, the evangelical Christian community believes from Bible prophecy that the UN itself will be the catalyst for global war and tyranny. But that's a whole other subject. The point is that the Bible speaks about a coming time of peace and righteousness on earth, which is called by Christians the millennium. Postmillennialism, post meaning after, believes that Christ will literally and physically return after the millennium is established on earth. That Christians are to establish the kingdom of Christ on earth for the king to receive. Premillennialism, which makes up the majority of evangelical Christians today, believes Christ has to physically return to earth in power and in judgment in order to set up the millennial kingdom. Matthew 25:31, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all of the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. So premillennialism, Christ returns first, then the millennium. Postmillennialism, the millennium comes first, then Christ returns. Now there's one more position called amillennialism. Ah negates what follows. Amillennialists do not believe there will be a realized millennium on earth. Either all of those prophecies about the millennium are to be fulfilled spiritually, not physically, or all of those prophecies about the millennium are just references to heaven itself. Roman Catholic and Greek Orthodox theology, along with most Reformed churches, are amillennial. Now, beginning in the 19th century, with the Christian community having a renewed interest in biblical prophecy, there's a revival of the doctrine of a literal millennium on earth. A literal reading of Scripture supports millennialism, which is often called kilialism. Millennium is Latin, kilialism is Greek. The early church fathers, from the 1st to the 3rd century, like Justin Martyr, Irenaeus, Papias, Tertullian, all believed in a coming literal millennium on earth after the return of Christ. They believed there was an age still to come on earth where Christ would rule and reign, being physically on earth. But by about the 5th century, with the domination of the church and the culture, church theologians began to believe that maybe the church itself will Christianize the world and bring in the millennium by the power of the Holy Spirit, then Christ will return. The church began to believe that millennialism was a crass, literal, unspiritual Jewish interpretation of Scripture. So Christendom mostly switched from premillennialism to an amillennial theology until the 19th century when the doctrine of millennialism was revived. Now, at the conference I attended, Pastor Doug Wilson quibbed that the millennial is 1,000 years of Christ's peace that Christians like to fight about. I hope you catch the irony there. Now, if you're listening to this and you do not have a Christian background, you might be thinking, what difference does this all make? This is just a lot of theological mumbo-jumbo. But even atheists and agnostics have an eschatology. You know, while Christians believe history moves toward the point of God's redemption of his creation and the ultimate defeat of evil, you know, atheists believe that the sun and the universe will eventually burn out and everything ends in nothingness. Kind of depressing, but that is the logical scientific conclusion. And atheists also have a short-term eschatology concerning our nation. That either America will survive and get better and better by having more libertarian freedoms and bigger government, or that America, like all empires of the past, will become fat and lazy and bloated and eventually collapse. All organisms get old and die. In Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis wrote the following about the human experience, and I always like this quote. The key to history is terrific energy is expended. Civilizations are built up, excellent institutions devised, but each time something goes wrong. Some fatal flaw always brings the selfish and the cruel people to the top. It all slides back to misery and ruin. In fact, the machine conks. It seems to start up all right and run for a few yards, and then it breaks down. There are quite a few non-religious conservatives who want to hold the machine together just for the sake of personal self-preservation. Here's an article from PJ Media by David Harsanyi. The article is entitled, "If This Is Christian Nationalism, Sign Me Up." Harsanyi is an atheist, but he supports Christians who maintain that rights come from God and not from the state, because he knows the tyranny that will break out if rights can be given and taken away by the state. He believes that there are intrinsic human rights and intrinsic morality regardless of God. Well, the bottom line is that eschatology and values matter to everyone. And practically what is really at issue in this whole post-millennial versus pre-millennial debate is, where does the modern world end up? In chaos and corruption? Or long-term, will the world get better and better despite some cultural downturns? Now, the conference I was attended was subtitled, Blueprints for Christendom 2.0. Now, if you understand the theology, you would understand the title. The teaching is that just like in the Reformation from the 13th to 17th century, where there was a return to God and biblical authority, there's going to be another Reformation, Christianity 2.0, where the outbreak of evil that we're seeing in this world will run its course and collapse on its own weight. The punishment is built into the sin, LGBTQ, abortion, transgenderism, Marxism, godless public schools will fail. And the world will learn its lesson. The Christian community will be there to pick up the pieces and again show the world the right way to live before God. Actually, I would call it Christianity 3.0. First, the Roman Empire collapsed because of its own corruption, and then the Christians picked up the pieces and took the lead. That was Christianity 1.0. Then Europe became corrupt, and the church was no longer the true church. It was taken over by wolves in sheep's clothing. So there is the Reformation, where the people returned to the scriptures. That was Christianity 2.0. And now in the 20th century, people living off of the blessing of Christendom 2.0 have taken it for granted and have turned away from God. If there's a future collapse and a revival, that would be Christendom 3.0. And each time the nations, mankind, learns through the school of hard knocks. Now, this theory or this theology is rational. I think we'd all admit that if Christ delays his physical return for another 500 years, there's going to have to be a moral correction in the world. Leftism is not sustainable. Whatever a man sows, he will reap. If you sow the flesh, from the flesh you will reap corruption. Like is often said, reality often slaps leftism upside the head. You know, a local example of this would be the collapse of the Soviet Union after 70 years of communism. And many sociologists foresee the soon collapse of the CCP. Christianity in China is growing to be a greater cultural influence and power than the Chinese Communist Party. Now, premillennialists would see the situation this way, that the current outbreak of atheism and paganism will not last. It will experience a correction, but that correction will be the final apocalypse and the coming of Christ. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, there will be a great rebellion in this world at the end of the church age. And one could take Revelation chapter 20, verse 7, the same will be released for a short time to deceive the nations and apply it to our current situation. Jesus did teach that at the end of this age, there will be a great tribulation and persecution against the church. And the book of the Revelation is all about the final judgments on earth and the battle of Armageddon. So this is going to happen at some point during the church age. And contrary to what postmillennialists would teach, premillennialists believe it will take the final judgment on the nations and the return of Christ for there to be a realized millennium on earth. Realize this. Postmillennialists and premillennialists are really not that much different in their faith concerning final outcomes. Postmillennialists believe Christ will rule the nations by the power of the Holy Spirit and the work of the church. Premillennialists also believe Christ will rule the nations, but by his physical return and presence. But the agreement is that Christ is Lord, and he will rule over the nations as promised in Scripture. But there is significant difference in regard to implementation. Postmillennialists accuse premillennialists of teaching loser theology. Even at this conference, one speaker asked the question, how motivated are you going to be to build institutions, to build businesses, to be socially engaged, if you believe we're going into the great apostasy, and that the only thing that will save the world will be the return of Christ? What was implied is that only postmillennialism is motivating. Only postmillennialism inspires proper Christian stewardship. And in my work with conservative activists, there is an aversion to any apocalyptic doomsday opinions. Because activists believe that it will discourage the troops, that it will be self-fulfilling prophecy. And it is true that as soon as people believe that we're in some sort of prophesied reign of Satan, you know, they give up. They give up political, social, cultural engagement and run for the hills. Look at how conservatives react when they believe that their state is hopeless. They give up and move on to red states. They vote with their feet. There is actually a revival of postmillennial theology among younger evangelicals. Throughout most of the 20th century, with the rise of secularism and two world wars, postmillennialism was a discredited theology. The world certainly didn't look like it was going to get better and better, and that we would realize a millennium in America, as John Wesley and Jonathan Edwards taught. But what a surprise. There has been a revival in postmillennialism, even during the most spiritually dark period in America's history. In my conversations with postmillennialists, here's what I believe is going on. Younger Christians, young homeschool Christian families, want to hear an optimistic message. They want to hear that we will push back against the darkness, that our labors are not in vain in the Lord. They're attracted to a we win theology that glorifies the power of Christ and the lordship of Christ, that this is an exercise of faith. Hebrews chapter 13, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness. These Christians are tired of Satan running the show, especially since he's a defeated enemy. And Satan would want nothing more than for Christians to believe that they're defeated and they can't do anything. To convince Christians that they need to just stand down and not speak up against a godless, satanic hegemony. Pastor John MacArthur, a premillennialist, recently responded to postmillennialism by saying, I have some news for you. We lose down here. Now, we can appreciate that theology that just as Christ suffered, we will also suffer. That our goal is not to save the sinful world, but to recruit people for the heavenly kingdom. But postmillennialists cringe at that suggestion. They believe we have a duty to exercise Christ's authority over this present age, that the will of God must be done on earth as it is in heaven. However, the emphasis of premillennialism is simply to recruit people for the kingdom of Christ, our true inheritance. That our mission is not to save the nations on earth. Daniel 2:44, that God's going to set up a kingdom that will crush and put an end to all of these earthly kingdoms. So that's a brief description of the controversy. And now I have a few observations. First, recognize that there are plenty of Christian nationalists who are not postmillennial, but premillennial. In fact, I believe there are more Christian nationalists who are premillennial. The majority of the pastors at the Turning Point USA Pastor Summit were Christian nationalists and premillennial. Just because one believes in the coming apostasy, a coming antichrist, a coming apocalypse, doesn't mean one gives up on the culture. Even Jesus said in Matthew 24, after teaching his disciples about a coming great tribulation, he told them to keep busy. There's enough motivation in heavenly rewards to keep a Christian active right up until the end, no matter what happens. I tell people who ask, I am a premillennial with the optimism of a postmillennialist. Because even though for a little while, God may allow evil to take over the institutions, the church can still be very strong and be a victorious counterculture. And as soon as the Antichrist takes over the governments of this world in a leftist globalism, their own house starts to collapse. So Christian nationalism doesn't depend upon postmillennialism. My second observation is that postmillennialism is not as harmful as some think it is. After the conference, I was wrestling with this question, is postmillennialism a false heresy that will destroy the faith and the testimony of the church? There are some who see postmillennialism as a doctrine of demons sent to delude the church in these last days. But I appreciate the postmillennial faith, their faith in the power of Christ and the power of the Spirit of God. I appreciate their dedication to the lordship of Christ over the nations, something I think mainstream evangelicals have dropped the ball on. Like I said last week, when God's people enter the time of the revelation, I want the world to be hearing from the church the message of Christian nationalism, that Christ is to be Lord over the nations, not the pluralistic pagan antichrist. And in the same way, in these last days, the world needs to be hearing that Christ wins, that he will bring in his millennial kingdom. Unbelievers are going to be on the wrong side of history. I've read the end of the book, and God wins. Even if postmillennialism gets some of the details of future prophecy wrong, they still have the right message. And the postmillennialists I know are certainly not as dogmatic as a few of their leaders. Most of them are open to the possibility of a coming apocalypse and a premillennial return of Christ. They just happen to lean toward postmillennialism. Now, one thing is for sure, if we're close to the end of this age, given the coming signs of the time, be sure that the entire Christian community will soon be on the same page. God is going to straighten out all of these minor disagreements. My final observation is what matters is what the Bible itself teaches. Postmillennialists will reference plenty of scripture about the rule of Christ over the nations. Yes, we all agree that Christ will rule. To discover those details, one must go to the prophetic text. I'm out of time. Did you get all this? This is some deep theology. But where the world ends up is a very important subject. In my extended video version of this program at Rumble and at YouTube, I'll explain more details. The channel is God and Country Biblical Exposition. This is video program 297. The website for all of the links is godandcountryradio.org. Just spell it out, godandcountryradio.org. Thanks for listening. Keep in the word, stand for the truth, and may Jesus Christ reign.